Job 31. And let's look at verse number 33. Job 31, verse 33. The Bible says there, "If I covered my transgressions as Adam, by hiding mine iniquity in my bosom." I want to take my text, these words from verse number 33. If I have covered my transgression as Adam. If I've covered my transgression as Adam. Begin reading verse number 31. "If the men of my tabernacle said not, all that we had of his flesh, we cannot be satisfied. The stranger did not lodge in the street, but I opened my doors to the traveler. If I covered my transgressions as Adam by hiding mine iniquity in my bosom, did I fear a great multitude, or did the contempt of families terrify me, that I kept silence and went not out of the door?" I want to take that as my text in verse number 31. If I have covered my transgressions as Adam, and I want to preach for a little while on this subject, Adam's sin. Adam's sin. And let's go ahead to the Lord in a word of prayer. As we go through the Scriptures, we may find that there are a variety of Bible characters that are representative of particular kinds of sinners. In fact, I believe we have a Bible precedent for that. Jude 11, the Bible says, "Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam, for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah." Now, the Bible speaks about Cain. The Scripture says, "Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain." Cain is a representative of all of those that try to give God that which he does not demand, which he does not want, and in fact would even like to force God to take what they want him to have instead of giving God what God wants to have, what God demands. In the case of Cain, of course, God did not want the offering of the fruits of the ground. It was not the will of God to receive that. And Abel brought a more excellent sacrifice because Abel followed the Word of God and did the will of God. And so we might think about people that go in the way of Cain, and Cain, as a result of the way he went, ended up being cursed by God. He ended up being a man, after he murdered Abel, was a man that lived as a vagabond, as a fugitive, and he tilled an unproductive, unforgiving earth because God cursed the earth. And so, we are not to go in the way of Cain. Then we may think as well about Balaam, a representative of all such as love the wages of unrighteousness, and especially those that are preachers, false prophets, that love the wages of unrighteousness. He died, of course, by the sword of the Israelites among the enemies of Israel, and certainly was an enemy of Israel. The Bible talks about Korah. That same Korah, K-O-R-A-H, a representative of all such as rebel against God-given authority. And you may find that there are people that when God puts people in leadership and God leads them to do particular things, they have a spirit of rebellion within themselves. They stand up against that which is right as a man of God is leading the people of God within the will of God. And in the case of Korah, think of a man that he opposed Moses and Aaron. Moses and Aaron that were called by God, that were given responsibilities by God. And, of course, you might recall that he was a Levite, and so he had responsibility, but he spoke as though that Moses and Aaron took too much upon themselves. And he said they put themselves above the other people in Israel. And so he stood against God's chosen men. And, of course, as a result of that, there was a new thing, so that the earth opened up, and Korah and those that were with him were swallowed up by the earth. And so we might think about those three representatives of particular kinds of sinners. I preached using as a text the words from Job 31 and verse 27. Or my mouth hath kissed my hand. I dealt with the idea of when a man kisses his own hand. What Bible character would be a good representative of that kind of a hand kisser? We might think about Absalom. And we might think about Satan. And we might think about the Pharisee that the Bible speaks of, especially the Pharisees in general, but the Pharisee in particular that was there when the publican was praying, and he spoke as though, I thank God I'm not as other men are. And he listed some things, then said, he spoke about that one publican in particular. Thank God I'm not like that publican. And so we might think about a man kissing his own hand. And sometimes a person like that, he may kiss his own hand, want other people to kiss his hand. He may want other people to exalt him, promote him, to speak well of him. And so we might think about him, but also, and I think a prince among the hand kissers, so to speak, was Absalom. Great beauty, great ability, and great vanity can be a very dangerous combination. And of course, he ended up hung up by his head in an oak tree. And there were three darts thrown into his heart. He perished there. He had made for himself a pillar. Think about a man that makes a monument for himself. He had made for himself a pillar. And yet, after dying, he ended up in a great pit and covered up by a great pile of stones. And so really, that was a monument to this man, this very vain man, this hand kisser, as it might be said, Absalom. We might think about, for instance, Isaac. One writer gave these words. When I read Isaac's whole story over again with mine eye upon the object, it becomes clear as a sunbeam to me that what envy was to Cain and what wine was to Noah, and what lewdness was to Ham, and what wealth was to Lot, and what pride and impatience were to Sarah, all that venison and savory meat were to Isaac. I cannot get past it. Later on he said, old Isaac, with his eyes so dim that he could not see, is the father of all those men who make their God their belly, who think too much and too often of what they shall eat and what they shall drink, who value their friends by the table they keep, who are never so happy as when they are sitting over their venison and their wine. In this case, you may think about Adam. I think Adam is a representative of a particular kind of sinner. We might consider, first of all, Adam as the father of all sinners. As far as all sinners, of course, think about sinners among men. Romans chapter number 5, verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Psalm 51, verse 5. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Ephesians chapter number 2, verses 2 and 3. The Spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. The Bible there speaks about by nature. And of course, I believe that men are sinners by nature and sinners by choice. I certainly do not think that Adam realized all that was going to come upon mankind when he sinned. I certainly do not believe that he realized all the degradation, the death, the defilement that would come upon the people, that the descendants of his, because of the fall of Adam. He sinned against God. He went contrary to the Word of God. And as a result of that, there have been so many terrible things that have happened down through the years. Now, by one man, sin entered into the world. The Bible says in Romans chapter number 5, verse 15, "For if through the offense of one, many be dead." Romans 5:16, "For the judgment was by one to condemnation." Romans chapter number 5, verse 17, "For if by one man's offense, death reigned by one." Romans chapter number 5, verse 18, "Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation." Romans chapter number 5, verse number 19, "For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners." Thank God for the second Adam. The first Adam sinned, and sin entered into the world, and death by sin, but thank God for the second Adam that came. There have been so many terrible consequences. Talking about testimonies. When you listen to testimonies, and you realize terrible, terrible things have happened in the earth. And there's so much sorrow. And there's so much hurt as a result of sin. Years ago, I preached at a nursing home. And there were two women that were sisters there. And they used to sing a song, "Sin is to blame. Sin is to blame." And you can go through sorrow after sorrow that man experiences, and sin is to blame. Sin is to blame. Now, Adam sinned. Sin entered in the world, and death by sin. You may find there are a variety of theories, theological theories, about the effect of sin upon mankind. You may find the idea of Adam being considered the federal head of the human race. The word federal, think about a contract, a covenant, him being the federal head of the human race. But of course, as a result of Adam falling, as a result of that one man falling, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Now, regardless of what we accept or reject as far as theological theories, the fact is, all men are sinners by nature. And men are sinners by choice. There's the evidence. Men are sinners by nature, and there's the evidence that men are sinners by nature because of the sinful choices that they make. And so we might think about Adam as the father of all sinners. In the sense that that one old writer gave, we might think about starting with him. And going on from that point on, or him being a representative of those others that sinned, you and I that are sinners. Now, why did not say that sin entered in the world by one woman? Was it not that Eve ate of the fruit before Adam ate of the fruit? And the Bible doesn't tell us that sin entered the world by one woman. Now remember this, Eve, of course, came to be because God took the rib of Eve, of Adam, and made Eve. And so we might say that Eve came from Adam, and every descendant of Adam came from Adam. And when Adam fell, then sin entered into the world. And we might speculate, and I really think it might be useless to spend much time on it, but we might speculate on what would have happened if Eve had sinned, and then Adam had not sinned. What if Adam had refused to partake of the fruit? Would God have eliminated Eve, given him another wife, and started again? But the fact was that Adam sinned, and sin entered into the world, and death by sin. I believe that Adam was a representative of what all of us would have done in the same situation. I believe if all of us were placed in the same setting, everything was the same, I believe that we would have all sinned. And all men are sinners. All men have sin natures. All men sin by choice. And so, first of all, Adam, we might say, is the father of all sinners. And then secondly, we might consider Adam one that loved someone more than he loved God. In fact, the father of one that loves someone more than he loved God. 1 John chapter number 3 and verse number 4. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is a transgression of the law. 1 John 5:17, all unrighteousness is sin. Romans chapter number 4, verse number 15, because the law worketh wrath. For where no law is, there is no transgression. Now, all through the history of man, there's been the law of God. Adam was given this law. He was not to eat of that particular fruit. And yet he did eat of that particular fruit. There was a law of God, and he transgressed that law. By the way, if you're studying the book of Romans in chapter number 5, don't be confused with this idea of a law of sin being imputed to man, sin not being imputed without the law. Think about the Mosaic law. All those that came before Moses were not required to keep all of the Mosaic law, but there was still the law of God that was in existence even before the Mosaic law. And of course, men were to follow the law of God. When we think about the law of God, we might think about the fact that a man is to love the Lord his God with all of his heart, with all of his soul, and with all of his mind. We might think about one transcendent law, and one law that goes all the way through every dispensation. In every dispensation, from the beginning and right on, man was to love God with all of his heart, all of his soul, and all of his mind. Yet there came that time where Eve had partaken of the fruit. And she offered to Adam that fruit, and he partook of it. So Adam was the father of all such as loved some other person more than God. 1 Timothy chapter number 2, verse 14. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. So someone might ask, well, sin entered into the world by one, and if that one was the first Adam, then did Eve transgress? Did Eve break the law? Well, you look at that scripture there. Even though she was deceived, the Bible says, the woman being deceived was in the transgression. And so certainly she did transgress that law of God. We're all sinners. In the Old Testament offering, the five major offering categories, there are sins of ignorance, sins of rebellion. The blood of Jesus Christ covers the sins of men, sins of ignorance, and sins of rebellion. When a man knows he's doing wrong, and he does it anyway, thank the Lord the blood of Jesus Christ covers those sins, but the blood of Jesus Christ covers the sins of ignorance as well. And in this case, she was one, and I believe she knew what God had said. She knew she was not partaker of the fruit, yet she was deceived. And it may be through the talk of Satan that she came to the point, she's reasoning within herself, it's good for fruits, and it'll make us wise, and therefore I think it would be good to partake of the fruit. Regardless, she transgressed the law of God, and she offered it to her husband, and her husband partook. And because of his partaking of the fruit, sin entered into the world. And by the way, sometimes you may hear preachers that refer to this idea of Adam... taken of the fruit because he so much loved his wife and he partook of that fruit. And there's no use trying to dress it up. He was wrong. And you might say, well, he loved his wife so much and perhaps he thought he'd be forever separated from his wife. That doesn't excuse Adam's sin. He was wrong in what he did. He loved someone more than he loved God. And so we might say that Adam is the father of all sinners. Adam is the father of all such as love some other person more than God. Adam was the father of all such as sin in willful rebellion. In the book of Romans, in chapter 5 and verse number 14. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. Now, especially in this case, we might think about Adam as a representative of all those that rebelliously sin, that willingly and knowingly and rebelliously sin. That's what Adam did. We might think about the bare sin. It is just simply wrong to do that which transgresses the law of God. Whether you do it in ignorance, whether you are deceived about the matter, or whether you, with your eyes wide open and knowing it's wrong, go ahead and plow ahead and sin anyway. It's sin regardless. But in the case of Adam, there was more than just the bare sin of wrongly partaking of the fruit. There was also the fact that he willingly, rebelliously partook of that fruit, knowing what he was doing. Now, that adds to the sin. It's wrong for us to sin. It's wrong for us to sin, period. It's wrong for us to transgress the law of God, period. But it is so much worse to add to the sin of transgressing the law of God to having a rebellious, willfully, with knowledge, going contrary to the will of God. And that's what Adam did. In fact, in that scripture, in Romans chapter number 5, verse number 14, the Bible says, "Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses." Now, that was before the Mosaic law was given. Still, death reigned from Adam to Moses. And, of course, sin reigned from Adam to Moses. Even before the Ten Commandments were given. Even before all the other parts of the Mosaic law were given. Sin and death reigned in the world. But the Scripture says, "Even over them which had not sinned, after the similitude of Adam's transgression." Those words, I think, are important. The similitude of Adam's transgression. And so we may think of how he sinned. All men sin. But death reigned even over those that did not sin after the similitude of Adam's sin. Death reigned even over those that did not willingly and knowingly rebel against God and sin against God. Sin and death reigned over them as well. Now, one of the things we might consider when we realize that we have sinned is not only have we transgressed the law of God, but also did we willingly, knowingly, knowing we were wrong, go against the law of God in dealing with children. That's one of the things that a parent may take into consideration. And the parent may have a rule, and yet if the parent knows that a child has willingly and knowingly rebelled against the parent's rule, then of course that can make the punishment more severe. And sometimes a child, he might have done it in ignorance, maybe didn't understand, whatever the case. But it makes a difference. If for good parents, so often it makes a difference when they know the child is sinning in willful rebellion. The Bible says this. In Psalm 19 and verse 13, "Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression." There the Bible talks about presumptuous sins. "Keep back thy servant from presumptuous sins." Now, to presume, it can have a meaning that we may not think is as serious. It can have a meaning that we have accepted something as truth without a factual basis. We may presume something to be true. But then, on the other hand, in a very severe case, and in this case, I believe, We might think about a person that has got a wicked arrogance, an irreverence, a wicked self-confidence, a bold defiance against truth. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. We may talk about the bare sin, but I believe that spirit of rebellion is so often worse than the bare sin it accompanies. And you and I might ask God to search our hearts, and we might consider, by the grace of God and through the light of the Word of God, have we sinned in a way in which we have not only sinned, but had that rebellious spirit when we sinned. And so, we might say that Adam is the father of all that have willingly, knowingly, and rebelliously sinned against God. In that case especially, and I believe since the Bible speaks of it later, in that case especially, Adam is a representative of those that sin that way. And all of us have, haven't we? I've sinned that way. And then we might say, last of all, Adam was the father of all such as sin and attempt to cover their sin. The Bible talks about Adam and Eve. Adam sinned willingly and knowingly. Eve was deceived, but she was still in the transgression. They had both sinned, and they sought to hide themselves from the presence of God. They sought to hide their nakedness, which of course was a consequence of their sin against God. And so, in this verse, getting back to my text verse, in this verse in the book of Job, we might consider a person that has sinned like as Adam sinned and covered his transgression. Verse 33, if I covered my transgressions as Adam by hiding mine iniquity in my bosom. And so first of all, we might think about just the bare sin, just transgression. All of us have sin natures. But then think about us choosing to sin, and there being that bare sin, but then so often that sin is accompanied by willful rebellion against the Word of God, and then so often we go even further and we try to cover our sin up. And that makes it even worse. If you sin in ignorance and you realize it down the road, it's good to confess that sin. It's good to say, Lord, I didn't know. I didn't know what I was doing. Then if you realize, I sinned in rebellion, if it was a case where you sinned in rebellion, I believe it is good to confess that. But then, what a terrible thing it is for us to try to cover it up. With a parent dealing with children. If a parent knows that a child has done something wrong, that's one thing. If a parent knows that a child has done something wrong in a hard-hearted, wicked rebellion against what the child knew was the law of the parent. Well, that's even worse. And then for the child to try to cover it up. You'd just be piling one thing on top of another. If you were to think about another one, that would be a Bible character that would be a representative of one that has sinned and has sought to cover his sin. Would you think of Achan? Achan was a man that took that forbidden spoil and he hid it in his tent. He hid it in the earth in his tent. And the Bible doesn't say that Achan, as a result of knowing that Israel lost the battle and the people were mourning, the Bible doesn't say that Achan then came forward and confessed. The Bible doesn't say that as after God had given Joshua the wisdom and he was going through the tribes, and he narrowed it down to one tribe, and he was going through the families, and he narrowed it down to one family. I wouldn't say that he came forward and finally said, listen, it's me. I did it. But he waited till he was singled out. And finally, he confessed his sin. I certainly believe that can make it worse. you are better off when you realize you have sinned. Confess that. When you realize you have sinned in rebellion, confess that. If you realize you have sinned and tried to cover it up, go ahead and confess it without being caught, without being cornered. Go ahead and confess it. All but to wait until fine it is exposed before others that you did that. It is so much better to confess just as soon as you realize you have sinned. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, chapter number 28, verse 13, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. Don't expect to grow spiritually if you're covering your sin. Don't expect to be able to get great things from the Word of God if you are covering your sin. Don't expect to get great answers from God in prayer if you are covering your sin. You shall not prosper spiritually. You shall not prosper if you are covering your sin. Somebody might say, "Well, I know somebody, and he had an affair going on, whatever the case was, a terrible sin, but his business was booming. He was not prospering spiritually." And you will not prosper spiritually if you are covering your sin. And so we look back at Adam, and there are things that we can learn from Adam. It's through him that sin and death entered into the world. And then he is a representative of all that have transgressed the law of God. He's a representative of all of those that have loved someone else more than God. He's a representative of all of those that have sinned willingly, knowingly, in rebellion. He's a representative of all of those that have tried to cover their sin, knowing they're wrong, and tried to cover it up. It would be so much better. So much better. In fact, I've preached a series of messages for the radio on confession of sins. It would be so much better if we would just tell God, "I was wrong." When Achan sinned and covered his sin, Joshua spoke to him about glorifying God. And one of the ways that you can glorify God is through the confession of sins. We may think that we glorify God by praising God, by singing, by giving testimonies of things He's done for us. One of the ways to glorify God is by confessing sin. Say, "I was wrong, God was right." There is so much confusion that can be caused by a person that knows he's done wrong, and other people know that that person has done wrong, and yet that person just tries to continue on like nothing's gone on. And then you may have people saying, I don't understand. He says he's a Christian. He said he got saved, and that he keeps living this way, and he seems like he's doing pretty good, and it seems like he's happy, and I don't understand. It could glorify God. It could help to clarify God's judgment in the eyes of men, Psalm 51. If we would acknowledge our sin, if we would confess our sins unto God. If you will, please stand.